It said this: what counts most in creating a successful team is not how compatible its players are, but how they deal with incompatibility. Wow. Isn't that so true? It doesn't make any difference how compatible we are. The issue is, how do we work through and deal with incompatibility?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2.
That word hatred there, it means ongoing conflicts between nations, groups, or individuals. How do we apply that? It's good to know it, but how do we apply that? Do not allow bitterness and hatred to reside in the heart due to unresolved conflicts. You know, some folk are mad and upset and bitter with each other about something. If you went back and asked them, well, where did this all start? Sometimes they couldn't even tell you. Couldn't even tell you where it came from. Somebody told me that the feud between the Hatfields and McCoys, that it went on for years and years and years, and eventually it got to the point where all the people that was initially there at the conflict had died off, and the other ones just kept it going because that was the way it was they had done all those years. God said in his word, he said if there's ongoing conflict between you and somebody else, that you need to put an end to it. You need to put an end to it. Don't allow it to go on. Because what is it? It's a work of the flesh. Oh, I'm not saying that you're going to leave and everything is going to be peaches and cream. I'm not saying that you're going to leave and you guys are going to be buddy-buddy, best of friends, let's hug, kiss, and make up. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that at some point, to sit down and address the issue head on and at least be able to walk away and say that we are going to treat each other civilly, that we are going to walk away from here realizing that we are God's people, that we are in this thing together, and that we are going to at least understand that this issue has been here and that we are doing everything in our power to work at a resolution. I believe that's God's will. Anything less than that, Paul makes it clear that you're in the flesh. You're in the flesh. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when we think about this idea of the flesh and think about a dead animal and how that when an animal dies, it stinks and you can smell the flesh rotting. Man, that's one of the most putrid smells that's out here is rotting flesh. And, you know, what if we were in the flesh, we started to stink? You know, we'd probably be trying to clean things up real quick. You know, because we don't want to stink. You know, we don't want to be around folks stinking. And we try to clean it up. But yet and still, we let our flesh dominate. We let our flesh run things whenever we allow conflicts to go on unresolved. The second word he uses is this word variance. And the NIV says discord, and the New American Standard says strife. What is this? This is strife, discord, dissension, or conflict. And so what he's saying here is that if there's strife or discord, that you got to put an end to it. You got to stop it. You got to put an end to it. See, sometimes folk want to put an end to stuff, but they don't really want to put an end to it. They want to put an end to it maybe outwardly, but in their heart, they want to keep it going. You know, some folk need to be in conflict. You know, that life don't feel right unless they're in conflict. And so even though they might have settled out with, I'm not letting it go inside. I'm going to keep it on. This is like these two Jewish brothers that had gone to the rabbi. They had this conflict that was going on between them. And the rabbi sat down and talked to them and tried to help them work through the issue. And it was a Jewish New Year. And they had sat down and worked it out. And they had made peace with each other. And because of the Jewish New Year, the rabbi said, well, why don't each one of you make a wish for each other? And so they made a wish for each other. And the rabbi asked the one, he said, what did you wish for? He said, well, I wish for the same thing that he wished for me. And the other brother said, see, I knew you weren't going to let it go. See, sometimes we want to resolve things outwardly, but inwardly we still want to hold on to them. We don't want to let them go. Paul says here, get out of the flesh. Let it go. Let release this thing from your spirit. You know, you don't have to hold on to this thing, and you don't have to hold on to this conflict. You can let it go. That's why, you know, we have scripture in the Bible. Well, let me move on, because I'm going to come back to that later. The third word he uses is the word jealousy. And the Greek word there is envious and contentious rivalry. And what he's saying here is do away with resentment that comes out of an envious heart. That if you are envious against another person and that causes conflict, then let it go. If somebody has something that you don't have, or they have something that you want, and all of a sudden this bitterness sets in your heart, this jealousy sets in your heart, and it turns to resentment and bitterness, he said that's a work of the flesh. Let it go. Let it go. Here goes one right here. The King James says wrath. The NIV says fits of rage, and the New American Standard says outburst. The Greek word is rage or explosion of anger. Control your behavior and your anger at all times. See, my natural tendency last week when somebody approached me with an issue is to get a little warm under the collar. How dare you come and ask me something like that? You know, how dare you? You know, and begin to seethe and begin to writhe in my spirit. But you know, I guess because it's a good thing I had preached this message. Maybe God knew. Maybe God was testing me last week. Now, I told y'all that as soon as you left here, I said, as soon as you leave here, you're going to be tested. I didn't think it was going to be me. You know, sometimes I think. Sometimes I think I get a little slack, you know, in between. Right after. And you know, it was like, man, the Spirit of the Lord just was right with me. And I just said, hey, you know, thank you very much for bringing it to my attention. I really appreciate that. Praise the Lord. You know, I didn't leave there. I can't believe, you know. That anger, you know, he said, put that away. You know, control your anger. You know, some folk can't control their anger. That's why some people sometimes don't need to be around other folk because they can't control it. You know, they just go off and vent on whoever's right there. But as a child of God, you know, Jesus said, now you know how you can, not Jesus, but Paul said, you know how you know you can control your anger? Because Paul said, be angry and sin not. So you can control. You know what? You can't stop from getting angry. All right? You can't stop from getting angry. You know, if anger rolls up in your spirit, sometimes you can't stop. It's there. It's on you. And you got to deal with it. But you got to know how to control it. How do you control your anger? By not going off on somebody. You control it. How do you control your anger? By not cussing somebody out. Well, you know, I'm going to put my religion on the shelf right now. You know, sometimes when I hear people say that, I wonder if you put it on the shelf or if that's what's always been. Maybe it's always been up on the shelf. All right? Yeah, but you control your anger by not going off on somebody. I'm not saying that you can't speak to someone firmly. And I'm not saying you can't speak to someone sternly. You know, yeah, sometimes you have to be forceful and stern in your presentation. You have to be. But, you know, there's a difference between that and going off on somebody out of anger. Because when you do it and you go off, Paul said that you're in the flesh. The next word, strife, in the King James, selfish ambition in the NIV, and disputes in the New American Standard. And what is the Greek meaning? It means to strive. Striving for a promotion at another's expense. It means that you are actually stepping on other people to get where you want to go. It means that you are walking over folk because you got a goal and that's all you see. And whoever gets in your way, it don't make any difference. You just bump, boom, you know, you're just bumping up against them and, you know, you don't care what happens. You know, I, you know what I find, and I said this last week, but you know what? There are a lot of in the body of Christ. I'm not just saying here at Bethany, but in the body of Christ. There are a lot of wounded people that's laying on the side of the road because some other saint, because they had an agenda, or because they had a goal, you just bumped up against them without the oil of the Holy Spirit. Because see, sometimes, you know what? When you bump up against somebody, the Holy Spirit will let you know, well, hey, maybe you might have hurt that person. And then you'll go back and call them. Or you'll go back and say, well, look, you know, hey, you know, I'm sorry that if I did such and such a thing to you, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, that you know that I didn't do that intentionally. See, the Holy Spirit will do that. But when you're in the flesh and you got your objective and you don't care who you step on, you don't care who you abuse, you just go knocking folks down to get to where you want to go. And, you know, it's a sad thing because, you know, one of the things I'm realizing, I'm just going to say this right here. I'm going to say this right here. You know, a lot of younger people that grew up in the church, that some of them don't come back to church. You know why? Because they've been wounded by some of the older saints. You know, I'm a part of this series, I got a whole message on, you know what the message is? Based on a book that was written, Well-Intended Dragons. People who intend well and say that they're, you know, serving God, but just going and hurting folk left and right. All right. But there are a lot of young people. They are disillusioned with the church. They are frustrated because some saint that should have been mature, some saint that have been here for a long time working in the kingdom of God, serving God, you know, bumped up against them, just bumped up against them, elbowed them in the side, elbowed them in the eye, kicked them in the shin, and just kept going on. And they never got over that wound. They never got over that wound. You see, that's why I'm saying that you've got to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, saints. You got to have this anointing so that when you bump up against each other, you know, sometimes after a Sunday or after a Wednesday night when I've been in contact with a lot of people, I just sit down and I just begin to reflect over my day. And the Lord will bring to my mind, you know, did you treat songs? You know, sometimes it's hard. And I just want to say it's hard standing back there in the back sometimes. Because people coming back and, you know, not everybody wants to shake my hand. I know some of y'all slip up the side and go out. I understand that. I understand I'm not that popular of a person. But, you know, there's some folk want to get to me in the back and shake my hand, you know, or say something to me when I leave. And, I'll be back there and I'll see somebody out of the corner of my eye, but I'll be, you know, talking and trying to work. And then they might leave. And I'll be thinking, man, Lord, I hope that the person didn't get offended. You know, I mean, just as I pray back, Lord, I hope that, and I might call, and I say, look, you know, I saw you standing back there today, and I just wanted to see, was there anything you needed to say to me, anything you wanted to share? See, that's what it means, that when you're going through, that you're going to bump up against folk. I mean, that's an innocent thing, standing back there in the back. But as innocent as that is, you may bump up against somebody. And the Spirit of the Lord, as you are anointed with the Spirit, and as you are walking with God, He'll bring that back to your remembrance. And then it'll be in your lap. And you'll have to deal with it. And you'll have to say, you know, hey, I hope I didn't offend you. I hope I didn't treat you the wrong way. I hope I didn't cut you off. You know, man, saints, we have got to walk this thing. You know, we have got to walk this thing. It's one thing to know the word, to read the word, but it's another thing to walk this word out. You know, it becomes difficult when you got to flesh it out. When your spirit says, you know, they deserve. You know, it's just like I said last week. Many of us want to worship at the altar of being right. You know? Thank God, I'm right. I'm right. I don't care that there's somebody over here that wants to reconcile with me. The main thing is that I'm right. I don't care that there are people back here hurting. The main thing is that I'm right. That's all that really counts. We worship at the altar of being right. And God says, man, it's better to be reconciled than right. You know, I think of a clock, a broken clock. It's right two times a day, but all the rest of the time is wrong. You might be right here, but look, you got this whole other thing that you're wrong. This whole rec-
reconciliation thing is wrong.
Wow. Selfish ambition. The next thing he says is seditions, dissensions in the NIV and the New American Standard. Well, what is that in the Greek? It means disunity within the body. Do not allow a disagreeable attitude to turn into a divisive spirit.
Wow.
You know, you've heard me say this time and time again. It's okay to disagree as long as we're not disagreeable. That's the key right there. It's okay to disagree as long as we don't become disagreeable. And so some people allow a disagreeable attitude. You know, just because we've had an attitude of disagreeing with one another. And you know the thing I find out in the body of Christ is that there are good people. Man, there are some godly good people in the body of Christ that just don't agree. That don't agree. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you not agreeing with somebody else. Somebody said, the songwriter said, there ain't no good guys, there ain't no bad guys. It's just you and me, and we just disagree. That's it. That we disagree. We will never see eye to eye on some things. And you know what? That's all right, because that's a part of the human nature, to have disagreements. But it becomes a problem when it crosses over the whole issue of being in disagreement, and now it gets into a divisive spirit, because now you let it root down in your spirit, and now you know there's a chasm that's been developed, and people are drawing battle lines, and they're dividing, taking sides, and then that's, Paul said, that's wrong. He said that is a work of the flesh. That's a work of the flesh. And then finally, he says this, heresies in verse 20. Heresies. In the King James, in the New International Version, is factions. In the New American Standard, is factions. What is this word heresies? It comes from the Greek word heresis, which means what? Separated groups. He said, that's of the flesh. You know what's of the flesh? Cliques. Cliques are the flesh. Now, let me say this, that automatically in the body of Christ, there are more people that, I mean, there are certain people that we fellowship with more than other people. Nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes, you know, people of the same likes and interests, you want to be together and they want to fellowship together and they might spend a little bit more. Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, the problem is when it becomes a clique, when the fellowship group becomes a clique, when it's us four, shut the door and no more, you know, then it becomes a clique. Well, you can't get in here, you know. This is only for our kind of folk. you see, then at that point, it becomes a problem, and groups begin to separate. How do we make an application here? Do not try to get others to take sides during a conflict. Hello? You know what so-and-so did? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you've never been guilty, no. I was going to say, if you've never been guilty, that raise your hand. But I don't want anybody to lie. We in church. We don't want you to lie this morning. All right, but what is that? You know, when, now sometimes, you know, people got couch things. They couch things and disguise things. Hey, I need you to pray for me. I need you. I really need you to pray for me. Well, what's the prayer request? You know what so-and-so did? Now, you know, sometimes it might be legitimate prayer. All right? Now, it might be legitimate prayer. But only you can determine that by the attitude of your heart. You know, if it's sometimes you might get something that's so heavy on your heart and you've taken it to the Lord, and you might just need someone who you know will have a neutral spirit, someone who will be a confidant and even tell you. Now, we don't want to hear this. And even tell you wrong. No, see, then I say, okay, that might be a right attitude to have. But a lot of times it's this spirit of gossip. It's the spirit of, well, you know what, this person hurt me, and I'm going to call somebody else to let them know that they hurt me so that they can be on their side, and we can get a little group so that they can know that this person is not what they should be, and they're not walking with God like they should be. See, that's what Paul's talking about here, heresies. He's talking about these little separate groups that branch off because you're trying to get somebody in your corner, all right? Now, once again, I said that we're going to bump up against each other. There's no doubt about that we're going to bump up against each other. The thing is if we are bumping anointed with the oil of God, that we'll slide off each other. Well, let me, I'm not going to get to my second. See, I just got to my first point today. We'll pick up that second point next time. But you can bump heads with others because you have the Holy Spirit. And see, you know, we shouldn't run. Let me say this now. We shouldn't run from conflict, but we should understand if we find ourselves in conflict that it's all right. It's all right because God has equipped us with everything we need to work through it. And that when we don't work through the conflict, first and foremost, we are in the flesh. And Paul makes that very clear in Galatians chapter 5. He said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. That you are in a battle. And if you allow these things, if you allow conflict to go on without being resolved, if you go on feeding conflict, gossiping, trying to get other people in, being divisive, that's not right, saints. That is not right. And Paul says that's a work of the flesh. So, you know, at least one thing, I'm going to say this, at least one thing, if somebody calls you with some juicy stuff, even though your spirit is probably going to want to go ahead and join in with them. At least say one thing. At least say one thing at the outset of the conversation. If you don't say it out loud, say it to yourself. We both in the flesh. Just go ahead and say it. Just go ahead and say it that we both in the flesh. And then go on with, you know, I'm not saying it's right, but then go on with your conversation. Go on with your gossip. Go on with your bad self. Because you understand. You understand that we, you know what? Both of us are in the flesh. And we just going to flesh it out here. All right? See, I know us. I know. You know, sometimes I stand up here, man, and I be preaching. And I say, wow, man, that's a good word, Pastor Glaze. Folk, we walking out. Just, I said, man, sometime, man, I guess those doors back there must have erasers on them. You know, when you walk through the door, it just erases. No, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that. But let's at least. I mean, I would to God that we could all just be spiritual people. I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about everywhere. I would to God that we could all be spiritual people, loving God, handling things according to the word. But you know what? I'm a realist. I understand that that's what we need to strive for. But being a realist, you know, when you do it, just go ahead. I'm saying this. Somebody say if you say something seven times, then it gets in your spirit. All right, so I'm saying, I think this is like the third time I said it, all right, that just go ahead and say that we're in the flesh. Just go ahead and say it, that we're in the flesh. Whenever you start, just say we're in the flesh. Now, that's six right there, right? All right. Just go ahead and say it, that we're in the flesh. All right.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 3. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Bumping Heads with Other Saints, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.